Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for protecting your people in the days to come. We know that you use your word to do that. You show your people what authority you have given unto them over the curse as they walk by faith in you and repentance. And we ask you today, Lord, to immunize your people concerning these things that are coming upon the world. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, let's get after it. We call this how to immunize from plagues or pestilence. And you don't have to look very far if you're looking to see what we're facing. I'll just read you a few headlines here without reading any articles, just to prepare you for what I want to say about this immunization thing. Here's one. U.S. has documented a staggering 10,000 lives lost over the past few months due to an influenza virus. Not just any influenza virus, but one of the rarest ones identified as influenza strain B/Victoria/2/87. This is from What Does It Mean? And here's some headlines from Outbreak.news. Lancet study warns self-sustaining outbreaks in major cities around the world inevitable because of symptomless coronavirus carriers. Yes, I've heard anywhere from 8 to 10 to 14 days before symptoms show up, a person can pass on coronavirus to others. So therefore, what they're doing in the airport is almost useless because it only catches them at the time that they have a fever or whatever, So it's going right. It's spreading throughout the world, and it was designed to do that. So here's another article. Every region of China has now confirmed cases of coronavirus. By the way, they've decided that they're going to sacrifice. Last I heard, I think it was maybe 11 cities in order to save their most important cities. Yeah. The people do desperate things to try to stop this. We're going to share with you an important way to stop it. Here's another one. Over the last 7 days, coronavirus infections have increased 1,000%. What happens next? Breaking. The World Health Organization declares global coronavirus pandemic as person-to-person transmission is confirmed in the USA. Another one. More than 250,000 Chinese people will have coronavirus by early February, warns researcher. And I think that is totally wrong from what we're hearing from people on the inside. They're saying that it's far, far more than what the Chinese government is saying. Okay, another one. Is coronavirus a manufactured bioweapon that Chinese spies stole from Canada? It appears so. But it was designed by a company in the United States. Here's another article. Eugenicists Bill Gates co-hosted a high-level pandemic exercise back in October, just in time for the patented coronavirus he helped to fund to be released. Here's one. The N95 masks are useless. Coronavirus enters the body through eyeballs, warns infected doctor in Wuhan, China. Here's one from Zero Hedge. Coronavirus contains HIV insertions, stoking fears over artificially created bioweapon. Yes. Then they, of course, discovered that wasn't put in there. That didn't get in there by accident. That was put in there to break down your immune system so that this thing could take you out. Chinese government keeping coronavirus infection numbers artificially low by limiting supply of medical testing kits. I don't think they have to test them too much anymore when you see that many people out there with the same symptoms. You just might as well. And they don't test them with anything. They test them like with a cold anyway. I mean, it's not as though they have something to do to stop the thing. Only Jesus can do that. Here's another one. Ebola-infected woman crosses America's open border and dies in a U.S. hospital. Human weapons infected with Ebola are being sent into the USA. Okay, well, you get the idea. What can we do since they don't really offer any great help here? Immunization quite often is something that will give you the problem. If you go pile up in a hospital with a bunch of sick people coughing, you, if you don't have anything but a cold, you will have before you get out of there. Unless you're a believer. It's not a good thing to go to a hospital. You know, they're not going to treat you with anything that can cure you. They will dispose of you fairly quickly. In China, they're only disposing by furnaces. Yeah. So, let me say, with so many different plagues or pestilences spreading around, what can we do to protect ourselves and our families by God's power? Okay, let me give you some steps here. They're simple. Most of you already know them. You may forget some of them, but they're simple, simple things to do. Number one, if you haven't already, ask Jesus to give you his born-again spirit so you are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. Many people are not born again. Even people in churches are not born again. You need to be born again. These cures are for members of the body of Christ. You must be born into that body. It doesn't matter how good you are. You still, if you're not a child of the King through the rebirth, you're not entitled to these benefits. And Jesus even said, don't cast the children's bread to the dogs. And he meant it. Although the woman he spoke to exercised faith, and he gave it to her. So that's the thing. This is what makes the difference, faith, you know. Well, ask Jesus to come in. You get the benefits. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also said that about not enter the kingdom of God. Ezekiel 18:31, cast away from you all of your transgressions wherein you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? That's talking to God's people. Why will you die? Repent so you don't die. In Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. God's promise of the rebirth. You may be in a church. You may have knowledge of a lot of things. And you might even be a preacher and still might not be born again. If you're not born again, you don't have this benefit. If you're not sure if you're born again, you're not. Because it comes by faith, you see. And faith is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not seen. So, number two, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit for power over the curse. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, if the world needs anything, when there's a rampaging plague coming through, is a witness that Jesus saves. a witness that Jesus heals. Most of the church doesn't witness to that, but that's their fault, and it will cost them lives. The harlot is guilty of the blood of the saints. So repent, because the Bible is very clear. You can't add to or take from God's word without coming under the curse. Read the last four verses of the book. Warning from Jesus Christ. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it, or the curses of the book will be upon you. He will add those to you. So, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Ask God to fill you with His Spirit. You'll be a witness of Jesus. They'll look at you and see Jesus in you, right? Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if your religion tells you, speaks against tongues, they're speaking against the Holy Spirit. Okay. This is a gift. It's called so in the Bible many times. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit. If your church says differently and you believe your church, then you've got an idol. Repent and receive the same way they received it in the book of Acts. All right, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with signs. And Mark 16 and 17 says, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. By the way, demons can be spirits of infirmity or sickness, just as they were in the Bible. And you can command them to come out, and they will come out. And it goes on to say, and they shall speak with new tongues. That's right. Why do we speak in tongues? We speak in tongues because we don't know what we need. The Bible says the Holy Spirit makes utterance for us because the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And we speak in tongues so that we don't understand it, so that we don't interfere with our prayer. That's a reason for this. There's a good reason for it. And Acts 19 and 2, and he said unto them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you, dear person, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Not everybody does. In fact, most people don't. And they said unto him, nay, we did not know so much to as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. They didn't know that. And a lot of people are not taught that in the churches today. And those churches are dead as a doornail. Okay. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Yes, and it's still true today. Just because your church don't do it does not mean a thing. You know, look closely at your church and then go read the book of Acts, and you'll find out what the church is supposed to look like. Okay. Acts 4 and 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Yeah, and speaking boldly to demons is a powerful thing to do. Demons enforce the curse. They spread disease. Okay, they are called spirits of infirmity in the Bible. And Acts 13 and 52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes with joy, comes with power, comes with anointing. Let the Holy Spirit do the work through you. That's why you receive the Holy Spirit. And that's why when people get the Holy Spirit, they have power. Ephesians 5 and 18. Be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Don't disobey God. Disobeying God costs you something. Always. Many lose their lives. Okay, number 3, repent and confess sin so you can have faith to be healed. 1 John 1, 7 through 9 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light of what? The light of the Word. That means you're walking in what you know of the Word. You're not held accountable for what you don't know. But let me say that if you don't begin to know the Word, you won't bear much fruit. Because Jesus, the one who sowed the seed of the Word in hearts to bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold, is not able to sow it in your heart, right? Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. A lot of people do that. They have talked themselves into, this is not a sin, or I've really forgiven them, or and it's not true. They are just hiding from the truth. So he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this can give you boldness. And if God's holding some sin against you, how are you going to have faith? Faith is a gift from God, the Bible says. 1 John 3:20 through 22 says, but if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So if you're condemned by your heart, God knows everything. He knows things you don't know that you have done against him. Good thing that it's under the blood if we repent and believe, right? Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, this is important. If our heart condemn us not, why? Because you've repented and confessed, right? We have boldness towards God. Those that have a besetting sin that they haven't repented of and confessed and put under the blood, they don't have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, those that have boldness, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Well, how can we do this? The overwhelming majority of the church who does not believe in getting filled with the power of the Spirit don't believe it's possible. But Spirit-filled people believe it's possible because they've seen the power of God deliver them from sin. So, yes, get filled with God's Holy Spirit, repent, confess sins, get right with the Lord. It'll save your life. It'll save the life of your family. You won't get any favor from God if you're in sin. Okay? And, of course, Hebrews 10:26 through 28 says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, yes, there's a lot of people out there that believe that blood covers it all, and they're deceived. They believe they can walk in willful disobedience, and the blood covers it all. But it says here, if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Now, I would say these plagues are judgment. God said he was going to send these plagues. He warned us he was going to send these plagues. He warned us how they were going to be sent. They were going to be sent by criminals on this earth. And he has authority over all vessels of honor and dishonor. So he says, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. I know people who are in willful disobedience, and we've seen them die in dreams of this plague, and they won't believe it. It's a certain fearful expectation of judgment, and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. It will devour the adversary. These people are adversaries. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. This was written in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul, and they won't believe it. Remember James 5 and 16. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. You see, it's a condition. Make sure your heart is right with God, so you can be healed. It's a condition. Okay, another. Number four, believe God's promises concerning sickness. If you don't, there's not much God can do, you know, for you. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree. He took away our sins. If he took away your sins, why wouldn't he take away the penalty for sin? Now we know Deuteronomy 28 speaks about the penalty for sin, and it lists all kinds of sicknesses. Who his own self bare our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now, I want you to see here. The Bible says you were healed by the sacrifice of Jesus. It's not a matter of you convincing Jesus to heal you. It is not. It is already done. You were healed. By grace have you been saved through faith. It's already happened. It's happened at the cross. All you have to do is claim it and believe it. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now, there's churches out there that are not filled with the Spirit and don't believe in the power of God and don't believe in healing that will tell you that this is talking about spiritual healing. Well, they're too late, because there are so many people out there from this verse right here claiming healing and getting it. They just have to stick their head in the sand, don't they? And not believe the witnesses of the people that do it all the time. Psalm 103:3-4, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. All you have to do is confess, you see, confess your iniquities, right? Who healeth all thy diseases. Now, if he didn't forgive one of your iniquities, would you go to heaven? No. But he's saying, just like he forgives all of your iniquities, he also heals all of your diseases. If you don't believe that, it doesn't work, of course. Some people think Jesus heals sometimes. Well, that's not what the witness of Scripture says. And he healed them all, and he healed them all, and he healed them all. It keeps saying that through the Gospels. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, yes, he's a loving God. He wants to heal. He's made a condition. You got to believe. These signs will accompany them that believe, he said. And he redeems your life from destruction. This is a destruction. It is coming through. It is spreading in the United States right now. Mark 11:23-24. Remember this one. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that what he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. So, you command a mountain. A mountain is a big thing, something that's impossible for man to move, except, you know, little by little. Unless they use a nuke, okay? So, but there are big things in our lives that are like that. They look big. They're not big for God. Look at what Jesus did. Look at what his disciples did. They healed, they delivered, they cast out demons, and so on and so forth. Things that were big to these people that they didn't think were possible. Yeah. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, all things, what does that leave out? Nothing. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that ye receive them. And literally the word is received there. Believe that you receive, because it is past tense. You were saved, you were healed, you were delivered at the cross. It's past. And you shall have them. That's Jesus' word. Now they love to, you know, deny Jesus' word with goofy things like, name it and claim it, right? Well, just believe what Jesus said. Forget these people. They're unbelievers. I don't care if they're in the pulpit. They're still unbelievers. James 5:14-16. Is any among you sick? Any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. That is, they need to be elders. Elders are mature in the Lord people. There are very few elders out there. I got to tell you, if you're in a church that doesn't have elders, go to one that does have elders. Okay. And that would be somebody that walked in the steps of Jesus and his disciples. Yes. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. Notice, save is a word used for sickness too, because he saves the body. Notice. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. See, you got to get forgiven so you can be healed, right? Confess, therefore, your sins one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. See, there is a condition. Confess your sins. If you don't want to confess your sins, well, then the judgment is upon you. It's not just a trial of your faith. It's a judgment, right? The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. All right. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. Now just believe what God says here. Now, the devil will put all kinds of doubts in your mind. You may be in a church where people don't do this and haven't done this, and that's the reason they got that sick list that's longer and longer and longer and longer. Never anybody gets healed, right? Two of you agree. So if it says call for the elders, that what you're doing is you're asking for somebody with faith to agree with you that this thing is done. By his stripes you are healed. Or you can call for some other person that's a faithful person and have them agree with you. If any two of you agree, right? That's a powerful way to add faith together, right? Mark 16:17-18. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. This is what Jesus said. He's not going to change his mind. He never did change his mind. He doesn't have to. He got it right the first time. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. See, the only condition here is them that believe. Here's signs of a believer. When they found somebody in the book of Acts that hadn't been filled with the tongues yet, they prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were. It was that quick and automatic, right? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. And he called, by the way, serpents demons. They're serpent spirits. The soothsaying maid was a serpent spirit. Actually, literally, it says a python spirit, right? It shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, when I say taking up serpents, it's not for the purpose of proving how great you are and what your religion is different than all the rest because you take up serpents. It's not talking about that. Paul took up a serpent and cast him off into the fire, and he wasn't even bothered by it. He didn't do it on purpose to prove who he was. The devil tried to get Jesus to do that. He wasn't interested in doing that. Okay, Galatians 3:13-14. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. There you go. Deuteronomy 28. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. God put our curse on Jesus. Now, this is not the sin. Sin is a curse, but there's a curse of sin and of death, you see. Sickness comes under, in Simeon, death, right? Having become a curse for us, Jesus bore the curse for us. For it is written, curses is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And you know what the Bible says? Abraham was blessed in all things. Ooh. All right. So, Jesus made that possible for us. Okay. Jesus bore the curse of sickness, which is listed in Deuteronomy 28. He bore it so that we don't have to. And now if he bears it and you bear it too, it's your fault. You know, we have to repent and believe. That's what we're commanded to do. Repent and believe. Not accept Jesus. It doesn't say that. Repent and believe. That's different. It has quite a different effect and a powerful effect. And number five, believe in the authority given to you by Jesus. Amen. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and spake unto them, saying, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And then he delegated it to them. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching, now listen to this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. So what he commanded the first disciples, he commands us. Some people say, oh, I passed away with them. Nope, that's not what Jesus said. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Whoa, well, those guys didn't last that long. So he must be talking to us. Yes. Notice that everything that Jesus commanded the first disciples, he commands us. Ah, it's a new book now, huh? Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you received, freely give. Notice he said even raise the dead. Let me say, I believe that during the plagues, many are going to die. And I want to tell you too, many are going to be resurrected. Now, the national news is never going to cover that, but witnesses of Jesus will. Okay. The Lord may instruct you to raise individuals from the dead. If so, command it done with boldness. And don't be double-minded. And don't back up. Demons like to bluff. They like to lie to you. They like to do all kinds of things. James 1, 5 and 8, about 5 through 8. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when you believe, stick with it. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. He will try it every time. He'll reason you out of it. He'll try to talk you out of it. Don't believe him. Luke 9:1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons. Now notice, he gave that to you too. Okay. Over all demons to cure diseases. Luke 10:19, behold, I have given you authority. See, everything he commanded them, he commanded us, right? I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Oh, gosh, listen. So, tell the demons of sickness what you want them to do. Usually that's get lost or something like that. John 20:21. Jesus therefore said unto them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, Even so send I you. Now the Lord, the Father sent Jesus with authority and power, and he's telling you he's doing the same with you. Matthew 18 and 18, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose or permit on earth shall be loosed or permitted in heaven. So that's giving you authority. And you have authority over their power, according to the verses we just mentioned, which means you have a right to use their power. You have authority. Authority is authority given to you. This is not to turn around and ask Jesus to do it. It's authority given to you. He has delegated authority. That's why none of the disciples went out and asked Jesus to heal people. When they went out solo, they commanded them to be healed, because it was already done at the cross. Colossians 1 and 13, who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He delivered us out of the power of darkness. Darkness is the curse. Darkness is the demons. Darkness is the devil. Darkness is the flesh. We're delivered out of their power. It says so. Job 22 and 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And light shall shine upon thy ways. Decree a thing, and it shall be established. That's like God gave you authority. Now, use it. That's what he's saying. Use it. Okay, number six. Confess your salvation from sickness and your authority over it. Now, the word confess, We're going to look at confession a little bit here. The word confess in the Greek is homologeo, meaning speak the same as. We have to say what God says about us. We have to say what the Scripture says about us and our situations, what God has done for us. Are we delivered? Are we healed? Etc., etc. We have to say so. We have to confess him before men. And confess your salvation from the curse of sickness and plague. Confess it. Romans 10 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Do you believe what I've read to you out of God's word here? And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice it doesn't happen until you confess it. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I agree. Sometimes people walk it out. And that's their act of faith, and that works too. But the most important thing is that you confess it, because he wants you to be confessing him before men. Now, if we look at the examples given in scriptures for saved, the verb, and salvation, the noun, the Greek words are sozo and soteria. And we realize that these are used for physical healing, as one of them I mentioned to you already. Saving from difficult situations and deliverance from demons and infirmity. You know, Jesus saved us, spirit, soul, and body. And saved is used for, yes, the healing of the body. And so is salvation, soteria. It is used in the scripture for the healing of the body. And as he and his disciples also demonstrated. They went out and demonstrated. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, even Jesus. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He has to have somewhat to offer, Paul said. What does he offer? He offers our confession before the Father and the angels so we can receive the benefits of the kingdom. Hebrews 4 and 14, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Speak the same as. When he says, by his stripes you were healed, Believe it and confess it. Matthew 10 and 32. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Oh, it's important for you to confess what he says before men, so he can confess it to the Father. He's your high priest. Luke 12 and 8. And I say unto you, everyone who shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And if he doesn't do that, they don't do it. They're ministering spirits sent forth to do service for them that are heirs of salvation, and yet they're bound by your unbelief, right? Or your lack of confession. So confess him so that the angels hear that confession, and they do for you what's necessary. And 1 Timothy 6 and 12 says, fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal, whereunto thou wast called, and didst confess the good confession in the sight of many witnesses. What is that good confession? It's all the things that we're just talking about. Confessing the Bible before men. And even the demons, when you do that, they know they have no authority over you. They know it. They back off. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. What do you hope for? Well, if you got the plague, you hope for healing, right? And if you haven't got it yet and it's all around you, you hope for immunization, right? Well, let us hold fast the confession, the speaking the same as, of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. He is faithful that promised. Hebrews 13 and 15, through him let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of the lips. So here, this is an offering that you're giving to Jesus, your high priest, to give to the Father. He says, the fruit of the lips which makes confession to his name. And the word name in the New Testament, Greek, is nature, character, and authority. You want to know the nature, character, and authority of Jesus? Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't make Jesus into somebody that he's not and never was. A dead religion. You know, he's the same. You make confession to his name, and he will manifest that. Acts 3 and 6, but Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, notice he's got something. What I have, that give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. You see, he'd been given authority. He had it. It was given by God. He didn't have to turn and ask the Lord, hey, will you heal this cripple? No. So he told him to walk, and he walked. The disciples commanded healing because it was already given by the sacrifice of the stripes of Jesus, right? Okay, number seven. Health is given by God and may be declared before sickness comes immunity. Notice, it can be declared before sickness comes for immunity. Exodus 15 and 26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and in the New Testament, of course, it's according to knowledge. You know, it's not that everything in the Bible is held against you, no. It's according to knowledge. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So if you do what's right in his eyes, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. Ooh. Notice that. The Passover, he passed right over the Israelites, and that destroyer landed on those Egyptians. Yeah, I won't put any of the diseases upon thee. That's divine health, which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You can have healing or you can have divine health. He can heal you so that your body doesn't accept any disease. Exodus 12 and 13. And the blood shall be unto you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. How is the blood applied? By your repentance and confession of your sins. You know, it applies. You're cleansed by the blood that way. 1 John 1, 7 through 9. I will pass over you. There shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt, which in this case is the whole world now. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Claim the blood, right? No plague. Okay, I'm talking about immunity by confessing what the Bible says about you now. Psalm 91, 1 through 16. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, we know who that is. This is abiding in Christ through faith in his sacrifice for your sins and sickness. Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, so he will protect that person. I will say of the Lord, confession, he is my refuge and my fortress. Can you say that? All right. My God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, the traps that are laid for you, like the spreading of all these plagues out there by the enemy, right? And from the deadly pestilence. So if you declare that you say of the Lord, he's your refuge and fortress, you'll be delivered from the deadly pestilence. He will cover thee with his pinions, and under his wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. It's a defense. It's a defense. Now, man doesn't have that defense. Only believers have this defense. Thou shalt not be afraid. This is very important. Fear absorbs the curse because it's faith in the curse and faith in the devil. That's what fear is. But God commands, thou shalt not be afraid. Be careful that you are not afraid. For the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Make sure you are not afraid of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, because you'll die. You're a double-minded person, you see. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You see that? Wow, that's a pestilence there. It's wiping everybody out but you. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. So you see the people that are receiving their reward. We've had dreams of people who were in faction dying of the plague. A bunch of them. It's the reward of the wicked. Anybody can repent. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. There it is again. Proclaiming the Lord is your refuge. And notice what it says when you proclaim that. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. So there's abiding in the secret place of the Most High. By claiming that Jesus is your refuge. Oh my goodness. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Wow. That's all there is to it? That's all there is to it. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, this is a lot worse than dashing your foot against a stone, but the angels will keep you, is what he's saying. If you get confessed before the angels, right? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. That's what the Lord says. When you love him, you keep his commandments, right? That's right. I will deliver him. There's an advantage. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. We'll set him on high. That's kind of above the problem, right? You're above the problem. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Okay. Well, look, according to all these words that I've given to you, declare your immunity or your healing boldly from your heart and command the demons who administer the curse. Command them. You have authority over them. You have authority over their power. You have authority over what power they have. They don't have authority over your power unless you're an unbeliever or if you're an unbelieving Christian, right? Give an example. I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. There's a declaration. It's done. And that's according to the word, too. Was healed. No plague will come near my household. Another bold confession, a good confession in the sight of witnesses. Jesus bore my curse of sin and death. Bold confessions. I forbid plagues to come into this household in Jesus' name. Bold confessions. Make them. Confess him before men because it's already stated in the word. He said it, now you say it. That's what homo legeo confession means. Be healed in Jesus' name. You're going to get the chance to do that. I bind any plague from coming to myself and my family in Jesus' name. You know, just an example of things you can boldly confess. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be done unto thee. All right. I claim the blood of Jesus saves my household. Well, amen. Command those spirits. You can command them by the name of whatever the disease is, if you like. Or you can command them by the symptoms. Or you can command them by whatever other name they go by. Because they do go by other names. Even spirits of infirmity. If you tell coronavirus to go in the name of Jesus, it will go, if you believe it. Or Ebola, or the flu, which is killing so many and has been killing so many because it's sprayed on us from above. In Jesus' name, you do it in Jesus' name. You're representing him, right? Or you may get a chance, as we've been told. There are many people going to die of this when these plagues sweep through. You say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to return to your body. Get up, or something like that. I've done it. I've done it four times. And I'm looking forward to doing it again. It's just one of the commands Jesus gave to his disciples, along with healing and casting out demons. It's what he gave to them. It's not supposed to be a rare thing. I will say that he doesn't want everybody to be resurrected, but he can tell you who he wants to do that with. Or you may just feel it in your heart, you know. You can command anything that there is a precedent for in the Word of God. You can command it. Use your imagination. He's given you authority. You have authority over their power. That means you have a right to command their power. If he's given you authority, doesn't mean you're turning and looking for Christ's authority. They didn't do that. When they went out to administer the benefits of the kingdom, they just commanded it done. And that's because it was already done. You can't ask God to do something he's already done. You can, but you might be wasting your breath. I'm talking about when you administer it now. You can always ask God for a healing and then believe it because God said it's already done. You can do that. But when you're administering the gifts to other people, what you do is what they did every time. They commanded it done. You have authority. Exercise your authority. Now, I'm going to put some books on this text here when we post it. Deliverance from weapons of mass destruction. Warnings of coming pestilence. A book called The Real Good News, because it speaks of a lot of these things. The Tongue Conquers the Curse. That's a very important book, you know. You don't need all this knowledge to do this. In fact, I just gave you all you really need to know to do this, okay? Am I saying not confirm it in the Word? No, fill yourself up with the Word. Fill yourself up. That's what these books do and these articles do. And then there's another one on deliverance from dark powers. So, yes, get these books. They're on our site. They're free. You can download them. You can or read them there. Well, Father, we thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we know that this is a terrible thing going to happen, but your purpose is in bringing revival. Your purpose is taking out people who are in the way of revival or in the way of your people. And your purpose is to bring back the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We thank you for all these things, Lord. You know what you're doing. And we thank you that you've given us this authority to come against the curse and win in Jesus' name. All right. And thank you, Father, for blessing Michael Hare and the brethren that are joining him. And thank you for filling them with faith, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. Thank you so much, and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.